This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Adam Ritz Show. My name is Adam Ritz. That's why it's called The Adam Ritz Show. Jay Baker is on the phone with me. Jay, welcome to The Adam Ritz Show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. And we have, I think, some great stories today in the world of public affairs. And, you know, many times people think, public affairs, it's going to be dry and everything. We are going to give you public affairs with a bit of a smile. You're going to love it.
Yeah, you know, it's we try to have some fun with it, and hopefully some of these stories will inspire you, myself, our listeners, to just do a little bit of better job of being a member of your community, maybe getting involved with a charity, maybe doubling up on your entertainment by going to a charity event that you will end up having a lot of fun participating in. For example,
absolutely,
in Santa Barbara this weekend, there is a pickleball tournament being hosted by Kenny Loggins. And I know I have an affinity for Kenny Loggins. His work in the late 70s and the early 80s, what we call yacht rock now. He's also Mr. Soundtrack from the movies with Top Gun and Caddyshack and everything else that he's done in the movie sphere. Well, he's a huge, huge fan of pickleball. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
He was involved last year. He sang the national anthem on a pickleball tournament on network television. I can't remember which network had this event, but it was sort of a, I think it was a celebrity-driven, almost battle of the network stars type of pickleball tournament, and they brought old Kenny Loggins out to sing the national anthem because they knew he liked pickleball. And I think that I'm going to guess here, that I don't know this for a fact, but I think that inspired him to say, you know what, I'm going to host my own pickleball tournament in Santa Barbara, where he lives, and raise money for families that need help. So he's got this weekend, here's the official title, the Kenny Loggins Pickleball in the Danger Zone Tournament.
Oh, see, it had to be.
You know, when you're on that pickleball court with Kenny, you are in the danger zone. And I know your registration fee got you a hat that says the logo, the pickleball in the danger zone with Kenny Loggins. So there's some swag involved. I mean, it's official. When you have swag and a logo, it is a real thing. And I know some other celebrities were involved, some actors from, I think, NCIS were involved. The name that jumped out at me was Martin Gore is also going to play. Not necessarily a household name, and I don't know if that name means anything to you, Jay. Does it, Martin Gore?
It does not.
Well, I'll tell you, he is a major celebrity. He is a founding member and the lead songwriter for Depeche Mode.
Well, there you go.
Depeche Mode is a great alternative new wave electronic band from that late 70s, early 80s era. They got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame not too long ago. So it's a legit deal, not just me and Generation X. I mean, if you're not familiar with Depeche Mode, go down that rabbit hole, get on YouTube, and just start listening to Depeche Mode songs. I highly encourage you to do that. And I would never have Depeche Mode and Kenny Loggins on the same playlist or the same radio station. But you know what? They can play pickleball together.
No, absolutely. And I was chuckling to myself as you were pointing this out. This isn't you just making stuff up. No, this really is a legit deal.
This isn't
just some guy you met, you know, in high school.
No, Martin Gore, Depeche Mode.
This is a real deal, man.
I didn't do any research on Depeche Mode. I actually do love this band. And I'm telling you, Jay, people always ask me, what's your biggest regret in your entire life? And without a doubt, the easy answer is I regret not seeing the Depeche Mode Violator tour in 1991. That is, if I had a time machine, I would go back to 91 and see Depeche Mode on the Violator tour. Okay, that was the album, by the way, with Enjoy the Silence and Personal Jesus and some of those big hits. Was Personal Jesus? I know Enjoy the Silence was on that album. Now, you know what? Now
these
I'm questioning
are such
my,
big songs.
Now, I told you,
you
I
shouldn't mention them out loud.
I told you I didn't do any research. So when we end the show, I'm going to listen to Violator in the car on my way home.
So, oh my so goodness. This thanks to YouTube, Depeche Mode can never die.
So the tournament is actually raising money for Unity Shop, and their website is unityshop.org. Shop spelled the old English way with two P's and an E, unityshop.org. And they are an organization helping needy families with groceries and general items from, you know, your general box store, household items, holiday toys and gifts, back to school items, all kinds of stuff that they're helping needy families with in Southern California. So if you'd like to learn more about their organization or even donate right on their website, it's unityshop.org. I'll try to do a follow-up report with you, Jay, in a couple weeks and find out how much money was raised through this tournament for the Unity Shop. I know I did read in the article that Kenny Loggins was a member of another pickleball tournament last year, and that tournament raised $20,000 for charity. So I'm certain his goal is to raise at least $20,000, if not more. And I can't wait to find out how much. You know, it could be $1 million. I don't know what their sponsorship deals were with corporate donations. I mean, this type of thing can raise a couple $100 or $1 million. You never know.
Yeah. Well, and then the bottom line is everybody's having a great time.
And that's just it. Everyone's having a great time. So there was a registration fee to play in the tournament. And then there's also they're selling tickets for people that just want to go and sit in the bleachers and watch. And they are going to mic up the celebrities so that you can hear them trash talk on the court during the game. So yeah, that's we mentioned earlier at the onset of this broadcast that great ideas to pair up or marry up your entertainment dollar with the charity universe. So if you find some event that you may or may not be interested in going to, maybe you don't have the budget to go to. Once you find out if there is a charity involved and a portion of your ticket price is going to go to charity, that could help you make the decision. You know what? This is something we can do, you know, from your entertainment budget. Maybe you don't go see the new Marvel superhero movie and you use that money to get involved with some sort of local charitable event that you'll still get some entertainment out of.
Absolutely. It's
all right.
Hey, you know, it is funny you brought up pickleball because my research this week, a group of pickleball players in Texas broke a world record by playing pickleball for 36 hours straight.
Oh, my. What?
That is a lot of pickleball, my friend.
That is the danger zone.
Yes, absolutely. It was an event in Texas. It raised over $18,000 for a charity called Taylor's Gift that supports families of organ donors.
Oh, that's great.
Now, it just involved four players that started at 6 a.m. on a Saturday morning. They didn't stop for 36 hours. The previous record was set in the United Kingdom by a foursome at 34 hours. They are now waiting on Guinness World Records to review the documentation and make it official. But that's interesting. A world record attempt was something that's kind of fun, and it did raise money for a great charity.
Now, even though pickleball, I believe, is the fastest growing sport in the country at the moment anyway, I'm sure there's a few listeners that don't quite know what it is. It's a paddle sport like tennis. And the best way I've heard it described is it's as if you are 24 inches tall and you're on a ping pong table.
Yes.
Playing
That's
ping
exactly
pong.
That's exactly it.
So it's just a smaller version of tennis, a much larger version of ping pong. and
it's easier for older participants to play the game, enjoy the game, and not have some of the wear and tear that tennis has.
Right.
And it also is a little more inclusive. The equipment is decidedly less expensive. A pickleball paddle is only a portion of what a really nice tennis racket will set you back. Did you ever play tennis seriously?
Oh, you know, I went out a few times, and I wouldn't say seriously. Long answer is no, but I've given it a shot, and I do enjoy it.
Yeah, my dad was really into it for a while, and he kind of got us playing it, and it was great. But this was right at the cusp of the carbon fiber, racket and all that stuff. I mean, it can get very, very expensive. And I don't know about you, I have reached an age where I cannot whack a tennis ball back over the net consistently without, like, needing an ice bath.
Right. It's a lot of square footage on that tennis court, hard on your knees. So the pickleball, there's less traveling back and forth
yes.
to get to the ball. The ball seems to come to you.
Less traveling.
And you mentioned,
and you're closer to your opponent, so when you do trash talk them, they're right there. They can hear you.
So when you say the world record is now 36 hours, that is how long they played pickleball. That's not how long they volleyed the ball back and forth, right?
Well, apparently they played, so whatever, you know, constitutes playing. Usually with Guinness World Records, it's like you played 36 straight hours, but you were allowed a certain amount of time to get a drink of water or a certain amount of time to use the bathroom. It's not like you have to be constantly in motion the whole time, but you know, once again, it's kind of cool. They set a record and raise money.
Guinness does not want to support fatal dehydration. So during the world records, they do want you to take a small break here or there and take a sip of water.
Well, and you know what the Guinness company is famous for, though they discourage you using the product while setting the record. Hey, here's a great story. We love when celebrities are out there doing great things. Post Malone is a very charitable guy. I didn't know this until I read this, but earlier this month, he and his friend Todd Graves, who is the owner of the Raising Cane's fast food chain, surprised some kids at a recording studio in Nashville with a $500,000 donation. That is significant. To Notes for Notes. It's a nonprofit which builds the studio. And what Notes for Notes does is equips and staffs recording studios all over the country so the kids can have access to instruments and music instruction and create and record music for free.
That is such a cool story. I've heard some good things about Post Malone. Don't let the face tattoos scare you off, America. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. This $500,000 came from the sales of a limited edition Raising Cane's Post Malone poster last October. It's hard to believe you could raise a half mil by selling a poster. But they did.
And it's a poster of Post Malone.
Yes. We like to say, how's that for irony?
No kidding. So those face tattoos paid off. They're hanging on
it
bedrooms,
did.
Walls across the country, and 500 grand went to Notes for Notes. And I'm telling you, my takeaway from this story is that I'm going to have some Raising Cane's for lunch because now my mouth is watering. Have you had those chicken strips?
Oh, they're very good. And you and I have always talked about the fast food world has some like hidden gems in them, and that is certainly on the list.
It's on the list.
Hey, how about this? Post Malone, while he was at the studio in Nashville, also provided a private music lesson for the kids. And it's not the first time that Post has unexpectedly showed up with the donation of a life-changing amount of money. Last Christmas Eve, he stopped at a dive bar in Houston, tipped the bartender, who was a single mom who has to work two jobs. He tipped her $20,000.
Oh, I love this guy.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, these are some unexpected stories because, you know, you and I, we came from the generation where we were kind of told, hey, don't get a face tattoo. That's not going to work out for you. But here's a guy that's turned the face tattoo into something pretty strong.
That is a great point, Jay. If you have a face tattoo and eat lunch at Raising Cane's, it doesn't mean that you're going to be the success that Post Malone is.
No, but it doesn't
hurt. But you
necessarily.
Could. You might be.
It could.
No one's saying you can't.
Hey, you always raise a good point. Can you have a little fun and also help out? We know that spending a Saturday night with your buddies over at K1 Speed Indoor Go-Karts would be a great way to spend a Saturday night. Well, K1 has reached out and donated $25,000 to an organization called Reach Out Worldwide. It's in response to the LA wildfires. Reach Out Worldwide improves relief efforts in areas affected by natural disasters, and also transporting medical and construction professionals to places in need of their assistance. So there was a devastating wildfire, obviously, in Southern California. They're still dealing with the fallout of that. It caused over $250 billion with a B in property damages.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be recovering from that for quite some time. And every dollar counts. And 25 grand is significant. It will help. And K1 Speed, I'm familiar with that national brand. It's a national go-karting, indoor go-karting place. It's pretty fun. I've been to one. Have you done one of those, Jay?
Yeah, I have. It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun, and it's exactly what we were just talking about. If you can go have some fun and raise some money for charity, that why wouldn't you do that? So the next time you're looking for something to do, maybe try to marry those two worlds together. I know, you know, maybe your spouse is being might say, you're going to spend all Saturday driving go-karts? Seriously, all this yard work we have to do, and you're going to go drive go-karts all day? Honey, it's for charity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's kind of cool. K1 Speed is headquartered in Orange County, so they obviously have a vested interest in helping their community. Mm-hmm. And they had volunteers, Adam, working day one of the fires and continue to provide relief efforts by building distribution centers, providing care packages to displaced families. So that's pretty cool. Now, I had to get to this part. Reach Out Worldwide was founded by Paul Walker.
Oh, no kidding. The Fast and Furious actor that passed away from a devastating car crash.
Yes. And as part of the racing world, Reach Out Worldwide teaming up with K1 Speed, as K1 said, it was an easy decision for them to make. But yeah, it's like take go-karting, and they did a very significant job, which is great.
I think K1 Speed also, you know, throughout the year, they have a gift shop where you can buy whatever, T-shirts or sweatshirts. They also, they have charitable items for sale, like signed racing helmets, you know.
Right.
They could do some promotion with a famous driver like AJ Foyt, and AJ signs a couple of fire suits and a helmet, and those are for purchase, and the money goes to charity. So if you go to a K1 Speed, maybe check out or ask a manager about their the merch that's for sale that is also connected to charity.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you go to K1 Speed, call us and we'll go with you.
Even better.
Hey, this is a kind of a cool story. Most Americans think their job is pretty meaningful to society. It's a new YouGov survey. Most Americans believe their work makes a meaningful impact, with 62% saying their job contributes positively to society.
Jay,
so I don't know if you have reflected on that, but I thought that was a cool stat.
I agree. I think the country would shut down if they didn't get to hear the Adam Ritz Show every weekend, I do believe this is a meaningful existence for both of us.
Well, as we've always said, Adam, you and I are working over a hot mic to make the world a better place.
That's a higher number than I thought. You know, if you just said, what's the job not even job satisfaction. You're saying like your job is meaningful to the human race.
Yes.
It's 62%.
Yeah.
That's a much higher number than I was expecting you to say.
Yeah. Now, they said people with higher education levels more likely to say their jobs are meaningful. But overall, responses were positive across the board for all workers. And they did survey 1,100 U.S. adults, and they said that nearly half believe American jobs contribute something meaningful to the entire world. So the view goes, my job is important, and it also helps the world.
I'm glad there's that high of a percentage. That's great that everybody feels that positive.
Yeah, I think so. That's so if you're feeling a bit more positive this weekend as you listen to this show, well, then good. Just take it on into the workforce on Monday morning. You'll be glad you did.
So 38% believe their job is in existence is meaningless.
A certain percentage feel, why bother even going in?
Why am I doing this? So we need to make sure that 38% knows that they are loved and they do matter and their jobs matter and we need you to do what you're doing.
That second group is the group that calls in the day after the Super Bowl, I do believe.
Yeah, for sure.
This is kind of cool. We have talked about rock bands that contribute greatly to society. We talked about Post Malone. Well, how about Metallica? Their organization just slipped my mind. I think it's called All Hands Organization.
Yeah, I was going to say
they
it.
They do a bunch of things. But anyway, let's talk more specifically about this is the time of the year where Metallica gives cash prizes to marching bands that enter their competition. You know, each year, Metallica allows bands to submit videos of them performing Metallica songs at their halftime shows, which I think is so cool.
Very cool.
Know, I love it when a marching band goes by and you realize that the song they're playing, you go, oh, that's, you know, pick your favorite hit song. Like, you know, all of a sudden the band is playing Sweet Caroline or Enter Sandman or whatever it is. And you go, hey, that's pretty cool.
It's very cool. And it happens all the time. You'll hear an alternate version of a song that you know, and you're like, I know this song. What is it? And you can't place it. And then finally it gets to the chorus part of the song or whatever. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's Enter Sandman. It makes it even cooler that it took that long for you to figure out that it's one of your favorite songs.
Yes, absolutely. So right now, Metallica is taking these entries until November 1st at MetallicaMarchingBand.com. So MetallicaMarchingBand.com. And they are searching for your band's great performance of a Metallica song. Now, why are you laughing? Are you in the marching band?
No, I'm laughing because I'm just imagining the members of Metallica in their black T-shirts sitting around in 1996 when they first got Metallica.com and somebody saying, you know what, maybe we should also get MetallicaMarchingBand.com.
Let's add to our, our URL allotment, yeah. Anyway, this year, I just wanted to let you know, if you are going to enter this, this is kind of an added bonus. They are going to take some of the performances and then add them to the video game EA Sports College Football, which has become one of the biggest sellers in the history of EA Sports.
And that's fantastic.
So you could be actually featured in a video game about college sports.
I mean, half the fun of college football is the marching band and the songs they play during timeouts or whatever. And to have your marching band's rendition of a Metallica song in that video game, that is so cool. I love those collaborations. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Now, how about this one, Adam? Are you one of those guys? I already know the answer to this question, but not all of America does. Are you one of those guys that gets a little antsy if somebody texts you and then you don't respond right away?
Not at all.
I knew that, but
quick answer.
You're one of those guys that are, yeah, no, that's good. The reason why I'm bringing it up, societally, we can have a bit of anxiety that somehow we're not responding to someone's text message in a speedy fashion.
Nope, not me, not at all. I've always approached the device that I have as a communication device, whether it's text, phone call, or email, or any messaging through social media. All of that is on my device, and I've always viewed that the exact same way I view or used to view my landline telephone in my residence. That's a way to get in touch with me. And I, back in the day, didn't drop what I was doing on the other side of town or the other side of the state or on vacation. When the phone rings, if I was close to it, I'd answer it. That's how you get to talk to me. If I wasn't close to it, you leave a voicemail and I'll call you back. So if you text me, I am not at the will and beck and call of this smartphone. I am not. It does not own me. And I am not dropping everything I do to answer every single beep when that thing lights up.
Well, see, you have a mature yet belligerent attitude about this and one that's serving you well. But believe it or not, people do, not everyone, but a certain number of people have some anxiety that they're not responding in a timely fashion, and no less an authority than etiquette and manners expert Nick Layton points out that texting is just another form of communication, and it's plenty okay to prioritize what's going on with you first before feeling an obligation that you need to respond.
All right, that's exactly what I just said. So whatever that guy makes in a year, I want that money. I want his salary. He went to medical school to be able to say that. I said the same thing. I want his paycheck.
Well, as I've said, you have a belligerent attitude about this, and it's not user-friendly. We're looking for user-friendly. But at any rate, they were saying, too, that it may just be a simple case of prioritizing, because if you think about it, if someone sent you a text that says someone's sick and needs help, you would respond to that immediately, if not sooner.
Immediately.
Just yes, but not maybe to the text that says, did you see what I just cooked with a picture?
Yeah. So here's one for you. When you're texting back and forth, I mean, that is a conversation. You're not using your vocal cords, but you're having a conversation through text messaging. And it does bother me when I write something, they write something. I write something, they write something. I write something that needs answered or responded to, and they're gone. They disappeared. I'm like, where did you go? We were just having a conversation. And I don't. And then I do it too, though. If you're texting back and forth with somebody, right when you, but now you've got to walk into a meeting, you know. And so so you walk into a meeting and you're done with that text conversation. I'm sure they're on the other end going, where did it go? We were just having a conversation. You would never on the phone be talking to somebody, and after they say something, just put the phone down and disappear because you had a meeting to go to. All right,
no,
Jay, I've got to stop this show. I've got a meeting to get to. I've got to get into my car and listen to the Violator album from Depeche Mode. My biggest regret of my entire life, not seeing that tour in 1991. If you just joined us at the end of this show, don't regret it. You can listen to it again in podcast form. All of our shows are listed on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.